Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Whether you know your way around every power tool you get your hands on or can't tell the difference between nuts and bolts, the Station North Tool Library has something for all skill levels. For 4 years, the Tool Library has given people the chance to borrow tools and get tips and advice on how to use them. From furniture and skateboard making to basic skills and knife sharpening, it's a place for both people who don't want to buy tools they plan to use just once and for people looking to feel comfortable in a workshop. Here to tell us about tools, classes, and events at the Station North Tool Library is Piper Watson, co-founder and director of operations. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sheila. Thanks for having me.
How did the Tool Library get started?
Essentially, my husband John is the other co-founder, and at the time he was looking for a way to just share what he knows, and he's grown up in workshops. He's a mixed media artist and sculptor, was teaching sculpture at Towson at the time, and someone mentioned to him the idea of a tool library, and come to find out there's over 60 in North America. So we went and explored and visited different tool libraries and tried to figure out how it would work in Baltimore. And by default, I kind of fell into the business. Having run my own business as a wedding photographer for 7 years prior, it was a natural fit, and we were able to make something in our own community of Greenmount West.
How has it grown over time?
Leaps and bounds, truly, which for me is a great indicator of how necessary this resource is for the city that spans a huge socioeconomic divide. And it really doesn't matter how much money you make. Everybody likes to save money and everybody likes to use tools, or at least needs to use tools at one point in their lives.
So who comes to the tool library?
You name it. It literally is all walks of life. People that make six figures and commute to D.C. and live in Station North in gigantic houses. And then, you know, senior citizens that live across the street and just need to borrow a hammer or a drill to fix the handrail in front of their house.
How many tools
do you have for lunch? Over 3,000 tools. And in the 4.5 years we've been open, we've completed nearly 40,000 tool lendings. So that's the number of times a tool has gone out the door and come back. And given that we have about 1,000 active members on any given year, that's really saying something.
And what is the most in demand tool or several most in demand?
Well, considering we have such an old housing stock in Baltimore City, which lends to its charm, they tend to have the same issues. So the top 10 tools that we always lend out are hammer drills, which really make it possible to hang pictures in those beautiful exposed brick walls that everybody loves in their homes, to air compressors, brad nailers. Those are really great for getting in trim around windows and doors and replacing those. We have a generator that we lend out that is really popular. Our contractor rolling table saw can fold up in people's hatchbacks, I've seen, and they can take it home and make their own woodworking projects or complete renovations on their houses.
You also offer classes.
We have about 36 different types of classes, everything from basic woodworking skills, how to use a table saw, how to use a router, why you would want to use a router, to skateboard making or chef's knife making, furniture classes like coffee tables. We really have tried to be responsive to what people asked us that they wanted to learn, and then developed really fun ways to disguise basic woodworking or home maintenance skills in really cool products or ideas or topics, and tried to create a community around that of shared knowledge and shared values.
Who teaches the classes?
So we started with John, my husband, was one of the teachers, and also Chris Lavoie, who is now our director of the public workshop. He develops all of the curriculum, and he also was a mixed media artist here in Baltimore that taught at MICA and Towson University. And we kind of pulled him away from that life because he was so talented at really trying to think about alternative education and how different skills make sense in an adult's mind in fun and creative ways. So the skateboard making class, for example, that's something that appeals to both kids and adults alike. People that are in their late 30s, like myself, you know, we grew up in a decade, in an era where skateboarding became like really popular. So it's a little nostalgic for us. We might not be going out to the skate park right afterwards and risking breaking bones, but it's the novelty of it that's so much fun to get your hands dirty and learn something new.
You mentioned something that I don't think I knew. You mentioned the public workshop. So in addition to lending tools, there's a workspace?
Yes, that was something that we learned early on that we needed to develop and fast. We had people that were checking out our little rolling table saw and four extension cords that would go out the front window of the library and around the corner into the alley where they would make the alley their workshop for the weekend. So we decided, okay, let's get these people some workspace. And with the support of the Gutierrez Memorial Fund, we were able to begin building out the public workshop about the first year into the library's opening. So that was in 2014. And so we expanded back into a space that was luckily adjacent to ours and available in our current location to make that the public workshop.
That's Piper Watson, co-founder and director of operations at the Station North Tool Library. Here on The Record on WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. The Tool Library operates with a certain code of ethics. Tell me about that.
So one thing that we have discovered in the world of tools or even building, it tends to be pretty male dominant. And I know myself, being a woman and sometimes going into a hardware store or a big box Home Depot or Lowe's type place, the tendency for the male employees there is to assume that maybe I don't know what I'm looking for or know how to use tools. And, that's a pretty broad generalization, but it's something that we've lovingly started calling mansplaining. And that is something that we've recognized as not only being applied to a male-female relationship, but it can also be applied to creating a shop culture that is hierarchical, where you have sort of the master craftsperson, you know, this one being that knows everything, and then everybody else underneath them doesn't know anything. And we decided that that really wasn't a healthy way to learn how to build or become acquainted with tools to begin with, and it didn't make people feel good. So one of our code of ethics is no mansplaining, no making somebody feel lesser than because they don't maybe know how to put a bit in a drill. And that's like one of the number one questions we get asked. And it's men ask it, women ask it, young people ask it, older people ask it. So that tells us that these skills aren't being passed down anymore. And so we really need to create a community around learning how to use them. And no question is a silly one.
How are you funded?
So we're 75% self-funded through membership and class revenue, which is pretty startling for us only being 4 years old. And that's something we're really very, very proud of. And it shows us that the community really wants us here.
So I need to interrupt to ask what the membership means.
So membership to the tool library is sliding scale. So in order for people to borrow the tools and take them home to use or access our open shop hours, they pay $1 for every $1,000 a year that they make. And it's just a one-time fee for the year. So if somebody makes $100,000, it's $100 for the year. If they make $20,000, it's $20 for the year. And there's no additional fee to borrow tools, just if they're late. And we found that that scale made things, you know, pretty equitable and kind of evened things out instead of just charging everybody $50 for the year when someone might not be able to afford that and someone else might be able to afford more. So we've really done well with the sliding scale and it's inspired other tool libraries around the country to look at that model as well.
So I interrupted you. You said 3/4 of your funding comes from those membership fees and from class tuitions.
Right. All of our classes kind of range in cost from $25 to $225, just on the length of time, the materials involved, how many days they run. And we've even tried to build a way with additional types of memberships that roll up the cost of classes and library membership and divide it by month. So over the course of your 12-month membership, maybe you only pay $10 a month or $29 a month, and you can take two classes for the year without paying anything extra. So always trying to figure out ways like how anybody from any income level, because Baltimore has such a broad spectrum of people, can have access.
And the rest of your money comes from?
So the other 25%, about 11 of that is raised through individual donations. We have an annual campaign every year that starts in the fall. It's going on now. And then the rest is grant funding that we apply for to develop new programs, to cover some capital expenses like upgrading our tools, upgrading our shop machinery.
Have you always been handy yourself?
No, Sheila. I am more handy now than I've ever been in my entire life. I am the first to admit. And I'm very open about that. And I think that's one of the reasons that we have about 60% of our 40 volunteers are female. Most of our teachers are female. 52% of our members are female. And even in our classes, it's a lot of women. And I think it's because I do not hide the fact that going into even building out the tool library, I too had to learn how to properly put a bit in a drill. And since then, we've bought our own small little fixer-upper, and I've just learned a ton, and I'm very excited to share my foibles, my successes with others so that it demystifies the process and they feel good about just trying it.
So the Tool Library has a community event on Saturday, the Fix-It Fair. What will get fixed at the Fix-It Fair?
So people are invited to bring in anything from bicycles that need a little love, clothing that may need mending, jewelry that's broken but beloved, small electronics or chairs that might have like a broken leg, things that they really love and they want to keep around, but maybe they don't know how to fix it. So we'll have volunteers on hand that are giving free hands-on instruction and advice on how to fix that thing. The tools will be available. The small bits and bobbins will be available. Some items might require more in-depth repair, and we want to be able to refer folks to the local resources for doing that, whether it's where to buy the parts, what books to look for in the library that might help them along the way, or maybe a professional if it's a very high-level thing.
Well, this whole approach seems kind of subversive to modern consumer culture. I mean, the thinking in America tends to be if your toaster starts smoking, toss it, get a new one. Are you deliberately trying to undercut the way the American economy works?
No, I think in a way it sort of supports it, because I think, and I'm guilty of this as well, it's so easy just to go out and buy the thing. But then when you start repairing the thing that you love or building something from scratch, you really start looking at quality and construction. And so now I have found that the things that I buy for myself, I pay attention to how it's made. And therefore, if I want to spend the money on the item, I can see that the value of it is worth it. And so maybe I'll spend a little bit more and buy, this particular item just once every few years, or instead of all the time. And the same applies to clothing and furniture. And so in many ways, I think I'm spending a little bit more, maybe not as often, but quality and construction is something that is important to me now.
Well, have fun at the Fix-It Fair.
Thank you, Sheila.
Piper Watson is co-founder and director of operations at the Station North Tool Library. At the On the Record page, we have a link to the first ever Fix-It Fair this Saturday, 11 to 3 p.m., 417 East Oliver Street. Quick break now. When we come back, the reopening of another community landmark, the Book Thing, which was devastated by fire last March. We asked the Book Thing's founder about the long road of rebuilding. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. and thanks.